nice to be back with you today. Appreciate the fact that you've come. We have those visiting with us, and we're always glad to have you. I want you to feel comfortable as you make your visit. Encourage you to take whatever notes you might like. Appreciate the good work that two of our young men did preaching the gospel last Sunday. I've had occasion to watch both of those and thought you both did an exceptionally good job. May God continue to encourage you to do that. I want to talk to us today about the topic, Some Things We Need to Learn. As I read through this book, it occurred to me that the scriptures place much emphasis on learning. In Deuteronomy 31, 12, it is written, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is in thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn." Where there's little hearing, there's little learning. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, I read where in verse 13, the Lord said, "But go ye and learn." In chapter 24 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Now learn." As recorded in John 6, 44 and 45, it is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And so coming unto the Lord requires learning. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, in his brief letter to the saints in Philippi, Paul said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Do you have some things you need to learn, or have you already learned it all? Let me suggest to you in this study some things that we ought not learn. Sometimes we learn things that we shouldn't. Like in the book of Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, when it is taught to the people of Israel that they are not to learn the abominations of the nations. It is recorded, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Sometimes we're influenced by the people around us. Israel had that problem, didn't they? That's what contributed to their asking for a king. As recorded in 1 Samuel 8, they said that we might be like the nations round about us. Instead of influencing the people, sometimes the people influence us. But also, we ought not learn the ways of an angry man. This has to do with the company that we keep. In the book of Proverbs 22, 24 and 25, it is recorded, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Why not? "Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." And we don't need to learn the way of the heathen. When Jeremiah in chapter 10 and verse 2 exclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." Capitalizing on the word learn or learned in this book, I'm now calling attention to some things that we need to learn. First of all, we need to learn to fear the Lord. A lot of people haven't learned that. In fact, when Paul wrote in chapter 3 of his Roman letter and gave a description of the man in sin, he said there is no fear of God before their eyes. That describes so many in our society. Back in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4 and in verse 10, notice these words, that the children of Israel were admonished to take heed to self. That was to be done with diligence, lest thou forget the things thine eyes have seen. And they were not only to take heed to self, but he said, "Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." That's your children and your grandchildren. "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And so I need to learn to fear the Lord and what that involves, and teach my children to fear the Lord as well. In the book of Deuteronomy 14 and in verse 23, that same principle is stressed when it is said in the latter part of that passage, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. How often? He said always. And so it's not enough to just do that today or this week, but I need to cultivate fear of the Lord that continues always. In chapter 17 and 19, when instruction was given concerning a king's duty, he was to have a copy of God's law book. And in Deuteronomy 17, 19, the Bible says, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Right? Why read therein? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Some people never learn that because they don't do much reading. In the book of Ecclesiastes 12, I learned from reading this book that it is the whole duty of man to fear God and to keep his commandments. I need to learn that. Also in Acts 10, 34 and 35, when Peter was called to preach to Cornelius, he said, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And so as you make your list of some things we need to learn, have we learned to fear the Lord? That is to reverence him, to stand in awe of him, and to be afraid of displeasing him. But also, as I made my study of some things we need to learn, it came to my attention that we need to learn the Lord's word. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, what did he say? Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Those words, statutes and judgments, are words that are expressions of the Lord's word. How can we expect to keep and to do if we have not learned? And how can we learn if we don't hear? And so you can't overlook the importance of learning the Lord's word. That's why I'm glad you're here today. And you see the value of coming together on occasions like this so you can learn. In Psalm 119 and in verse 71, the psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. What's your attitude toward affliction? You know, not all affliction is bad. He thought it was good for him to have been afflicted. Why? The rest of that reads, that I might learn thy statutes. Sometimes affliction serves the value of helping us to learn the Lord's word. Maybe our heart is more receptive to it. That's the way it worked for Job. He learned some things from all that he went through. And how many of us have been afflicted like he was? In a day when calamity befell, he lost his 10 children, lost his possessions, and remember what he said when he came to the end of all that in Job 42 and in verse 5? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He learned some things through all that. And I expect you could say that too. That looking back during times of affliction in your life, that there's some things that you learned. Maybe it'd help you learn the Lord's word. But also, I learned from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17 that we need to learn to do well. The first chapter of Isaiah finds a dismal picture of the Lord's people. Think about how he described his own in Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Children that have rebelled against me. How do you like to go down in the annals of divine history as a rebellious people? In verse 3, he said, Israel doth not know. my people doth not consider. Verse 4, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. There again, gone away backward. Verse 5, their whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. That's from head to toe. No soundness. That word sound suggests healthy. They're wholly unhealthy. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. You think folks like that can change? Evidently the Lord thought so. For in Isaiah 1, notice in verse 16, he makes this appeal. Wash you, make you clean, put away what? The evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. What's the next four words? Verse 17. Learn to do well. I need to learn that. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Those who are doing evil can learn to do well. Now, we can't do both, evil and good. We've got to cease to do evil. We've got to quit the evil and then learn to do what's right. This book puts a lot of emphasis in the New Testament on well-doing and the value of learning to do well. In Romans chapter 2, when Paul said in verse 5, he talked about the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. That shows that there's coming a day of judgment that will be the largest group of people ever assembled. Every man. But yet it's going to be individual. His deeds. And he talks about two groups of people. He speaks of those in verse 7 who by patient continuance in well-doing, that is, those who continue to do what's right, eternal life. But those who do not obey, verse 8, what about them? Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, verse 9. And so there are those who do good and those who do evil. And I need to learn to do well. As in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, Peter talked about those who commit the keeping of their souls to him, that is, God, in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Let me ask you, have you committed the keeping of your soul to him in well-doing? Another thing, though, that you and I need to learn from the New Testament in the book of Matthew 11 and verse 29. We need to learn of Christ in what's been called the Great Invitation. It's the greatest ever extended. It's extended by the greatest person, the Lord himself, to the greatest group of people, all, and offers the greatest benefit, rest for the soul. He said, take my yoke upon you, And what? Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. That's exactly right. And so have you learned that? In the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, and the basic meaning of the word disciple is a learner, one who learns and follows. What did he say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Writing the Ephesians in chapter 4, and Paul talked about the need to put off and put on some things. He emphasized that we're to walk worthy of the Lord, and living right involves us not living like other people live. Verse 17, he said not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. And so I need to learn of him, and allow that learning to shape my living. In fact, he set the example that endures even this hour, when in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 21, Peter announced, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." But in my study, I found another area of learning. This time I call us to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul writes to the brethren in Corinth and says, "These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes." What was that you transferred in a figure? "That you might learn." What do you want us to learn? "Not to think above that which is written." You might underscore that. It's an important principle. Not to think above what is written. I need to learn that. Most people have not learned that. We just need to develop respect for what's written in this book and not go beyond that. And that principle is upheld all throughout this book. In Deuteronomy 4:2, the Lord said, "Ye shall not add unto the word, neither shall ye diminish aught from it." And so if I'm not to add to it and not to diminish or take from it, what would you suggest we do with it? How about just read it and accept it as it is? He said the same thing in Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. And the wise man Solomon in Proverbs 30 and verse 6 had this to say, "Add thou not unto his words." Why not? "Lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Did you know that you become a liar when you add to this book? And then in the book of 2 John 9, John said, "Whosoever," that includes all of us, "transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God." And so when I step beyond what's written, it has serious implications. As a result of that, I have not God. I've severed ties of fellowship with the Lord. And in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, John gave the final warning about that, didn't he? When he talked about not to add to or take away from. You find that expression, "as it is written," 45 times throughout this book. I'll read to those who had great respect for what was written and those who lacked that respect. May we be like Joshua of old. In Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, it is said, "Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel." How did he build that altar? Verse 31 tells us, "As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses." I wonder what that altar would have looked like if you and I were the ones who were building it. Might we have thought that altar pattern was given long, long ago, and we've come a long, long way, and we need to make some changes to that? Or would we have had respect for the divine blueprint and just made it as it is written? And so let's learn to do that. It'll help us to, whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3 and verse 17. In addition to that, I turn you now to 1 Timothy 5. In 1 Timothy 5, the apostle is talking about the widow indeed. A widow indeed is a widow in need. And he gives some qualifications to be met for her to be enrolled in the number. And how the individual responsibility is not to be shifted to the church. Some folks have done that. They've shirked their own in trying to pass the buck to the Lord's church. The church has its responsibility and the individual has his. In 1 Timothy 5:4, Paul said, "If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first." See that word learn? What do we need to learn? To show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. And so as a child or near relative, when I have those who need caring for, I need to step up to the plate, not try to pass that on to somebody else. And so when you make your list of some things we need to learn to show piety at home. What's that word piety mean? It's respect, dutiful reverence or regard. That's been taught all along, back in the Old Testament, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, how the children were obligated to honor their parents. And Paul picked up on that in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." If I want things to be well with me and promote longevity, add years to my life, then I need to think about showing piety at home. And one way we do that is by requiting our parents. To requite is to repay. Think about all that they've done for us. And there comes a time when roles change and we're in a position to do some things for them. And we have some great examples of that, don't we? To requite our parents. Have we learned to show piety at home? Another area that you and I need to learn is in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul, in his letter to the young man, said, "Let ours also learn." Learn what? To maintain good works. To maintain is to keep them on. Keep them going. Right? Maybe the doctor tells you you need to maintain a good diet. You know what that means. To stay on it. Right? Well, this is something we need to stay on. The good works program. Because in Matthew 5:16, the Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I expect Tabitha in the first century was one who maintained good works. Because Acts 9 and verse 36 reports of her that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She didn't just talk about them, but she did them. A lot of people are long on talk and short on doing. How about us? Ephesians 2:10. Paul said that we are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. And in Titus 2 and verse 14, Paul said that the Lord has purchased us to be a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. Now, the scriptures thoroughly furnish us unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so when I read this book, it equips me to maintain good works. And then a final area that I want to talk to us about is the fact that we need to learn to be content. In Philippians 4 and in verse 11, Paul, in writing this church, said, as he thanked them for their fellowship in the gospel, and that they sent once and again unto his necessity. Not that I speak in respect of want, or in respect of need, that is, for I have learned. Paul, what had you learned? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. When he talks about different states, he expounds on that in verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so whether he was full or whether he is hungry, Paul said, I learned to be content. I need to learn that. Maybe you do too. 1 Timothy 6:8, Paul said, having food and raiment, that's having something to eat and something to wear, let us be therewith. You know what the last word is? I think I heard it. Content. Content. And in the prior verse, he said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. How much did you bring into this world? You got a lot more than you came with. All of us do, don't we? How blessed we are. And guess how much of this we're going to take out with us? Not even the clothes on our back. So I need to be content. You know anybody needs to learn that? How about the rich man in Luke 12? When the Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5, the writer said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. May God help us to fear him, to learn his word, to learn to do well, to learn of Christ, to learn not to think above what's written, to learn to show piety at home, to learn to maintain good works, and to learn to be content. It is said of Christ in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 that he learned obedience. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I need to learn obedience. How about you? But God be thanked, Paul said, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, in Romans 6, 17, 18. It's through obedience to the Lord's word that we are made free from sin. All have sinned, Romans 3, 23, so all need to obey. The plan of salvation is set forth in simple terms in this book. It involves hearing the Lord's word, Matthew 17, 5. Believing it, John 8, 24. Repenting of our sins, Luke 13, 3. Confessing our faith in the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. Being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2, 38. And then being faithful unto death, Revelation 2, 10. As Paul would say in his second letter to Timothy, among his last words, as recorded in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. It's not enough to just have heard these things and to have learned them and to have known them in the past. We need to continue. May God help us to do that. If you need to obey the gospel, everything's ready. If you've obeyed but you failed to continue, you've gotten sidetracked and you need to come back. Get back on course. We're here to help you do that. Won't you make your way to the front while we stand and sing the song?